Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of Mind Power. And today we're going to be talking about a subject that I know those of you who are listening have heard about. It's how do we clean up a toxic environment? Well, there's so many levels to it. Our world has expanded in so many ways that we have been consumers without understanding the long-term result of being consumers of electronic items. What do you do with them? We just take them into the stores maybe or toss them in the trash. We don't think about it. Well, it's coming home to roost because the toxicity of what we have developed and not knowing how to take care of the disposal of these items really contributes to a major negative for our environment. My guest today, Stanley Salat, is a man who is very committed to creating an environment where we're not going to have hazardous materials creating a toxicity in our environment that affects us not just as people, but it affects every living thing that is around us. I want to welcome Mr. Stanley Salat to the show. Good morning.
Thank you. Thank you, Donna. Pleasure to be here with you.
Now, you are an expert in business and quality process management, and you're very active in the U.S. and international industry standards bodies. And you've got all kinds of titles. We could go on and on and on about what you've been involved with. How did you find yourself getting into this arena? It is huge. I mean, I don't think the average consumer has any idea of the billions of tons. We hear numbers tossed around, but we don't have any idea, just in the electronic industry itself. How did you get into this? What was it that prompted you to become a part of the process for resolution rather than just being a participant in Silicon Valley?
It's a very good question, Donna, and hopefully one that others will recognize quickly why somebody would do this. My background is electronic engineering, and I migrated over from design work to quality management, which, and keep this as short as I can, it took me into doing supply chain management and verifying, validating that our suppliers in industry were doing what they should be doing. Over a period of time, I get involved with the international community, and as we know, we've gone to a global marketplace. So I found myself traveling around the world extensively. In fact, I've done something over 3 or 4 million miles flying around of the world to work with manufacturers. It really came to my attention back in and around 2003 when the European Union started putting together a program for restriction or reduction of hazardous substances. And at the same time, they put in, as many of us, many countries did, they started working on recycling and no longer throwing products, things we buy, just throwing them into the trash. That started educating me on hazardous substances more than I had really been involved with before that. And it was really a holiday season when I realized that I was potentially transferring lead from the Christmas tree lights to the cookies that I was feeding my grandchildren, and realizing that potentially I was doing some major harm to my own grandchildren. learning and understanding that there's transfers of toxic substances from products to your hands. You pick up a cookie, and very few of us put on a glove before we, you know, pick up a cookie at home.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what brought it home for me.
It's fascinating to me always to see how people evolve into new areas of what I feel are going to be very significant working environments in the coming years. And I'm sure with your 3 million-plus miles of traveling around the world, you have seen some pretty appalling conditions. I know that in India, there are poor families. The women and children do the work where they will sit and literally cook plastic and to get the gold out of it or to get metals out of it, and then they sell it. That's how they're making a living. Well, that's so toxic. It's unbelievable. You have people that I think in Taiwan where they were dumping batteries filled with corrosive acids and just, it's almost incomprehensible, putting it into their water, just dumping it by the ground.
Right.
And, of course, the stuff goes into the earth. It goes down into the water table, and you have toxic water. You have all kinds of electronic substances. You have toys. But so many parts of the globe are receiving tons. You've got photos in this book, which is the HSPM handbook. And you, I know when we first talked, you said, Donna, this is more like a book for businesses because this is hazardous substance free. This is basically what the HSPM SPM handbook means, is hazardous substance free manual, the handbook. But I look at this, and we're talking about household appliances, small and large, telecommunications equipment, consumer equipment, lighting, electrical and electronic tools, toys, leisure and sports equipment, medical devices, monitoring and control instruments, automatic dispensers. You know, you have a listing of so many things. And when you saw this, when you've been in these different countries, has it been almost to the, have you had the feeling like you wonder if you can even make a dent in this?
And not only wonder, but sometimes at night I go to bed wondering if I'm not just absolutely crazy trying to do this. But, you know, as we've started out with this, and to be very honest, in 2004, 2005, when we really started ramping this up on an international level, we had a significant amount of pushback, particularly from large industry around the world that was resisting the changes that they would need to make. One of them, and I won't mention company names, but if you look at any light bulb, on the bottom of every light bulb that you buy in the world, there's a great big blob of solder on the bottom of it.
Mm-hmm.
All transferable stuff. So yes, in the beginnings, it was difficult. We had a lot of resistance from industry. We also had a lot of resistance from folks who thought that all this was going to cost them a lot more for everything they buy.
Mm-hmm.
And today, I'm very proud to say that we've certified over right close to 4,000 manufacturing facilities who have undertaken the process management approach, developed hazardous substance-free products, and are working diligently to ensure that they're safe products. We tend to hear this thing called green. I caution
yes.
folks.
Mm-hmm.
Green, for the most part, talks about electric current and how much current we're using. It really goes beyond just the electricity that we're using or the recycling that we're doing. We work hard now to start with clean, green products that are hazardous substance free. Difficult as it is,
mm-hmm.
It is starting to work.
Well, I think the challenge is, and for an innovative person, they'll take on this challenge, but how can you make something that has been established, just like you talked about the light bulbs, where you have the lead at the bottom. And
right.
So many products come from different countries in the world, like China, and they supposedly were less expensive to make. But Americans are beginning to really move on this, saying, I want to be, just like you said, I want to make sure that whatever I produce is not going to be adding to the toxicity of the marketplace. Of course, we're in a big learning curve here because we've had almost, 100,000 new chemicals that have been designed and developed in labs that we've implemented, and we found out later that, oh my goodness, this is really deadly because combined with ABC or EFG, then you're going to have this as a result, which is what's happening with these poor people, that these miles of computers and wires and everything else that they might be melting down, they don't realize it's killing them. And, of course, the people that are asking them to do this and paying them literally pennies, they don't realize that birth defects and other things are happening because of this. And this is happening in Africa, the Asian environment. It's in India. And, again, a lot of this stuff ends up going into the water table.
It certainly has. And while we're speaking of the electronic industry and those things in the electronics industry, it's important to remember that it's not just electronics. As you mentioned, I've done the traveling. I've seen the reality of this. Here in the Bay Area, the news anchor Dana King did an article. She went to Africa. And they actually have a video on it where they show her walking around in the air quality was so bad.
Mm-hmm.
She came back, and for 6 months she had eye trouble because of the toxic chemicals that were just in the air, which were actually right next to a ballpark for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
We need to remember that we can melt. You know, somebody can take a hunk of wire and melt the insulation off and wind up with a pound of copper, which translates to a few dollars, which is a month's income for somebody in Africa.
Right.
The problem is that the insulation is highly toxic. As strange as it might seem, there's a Teflon-coated wire that is used regularly in a lot of different places, and the Teflon is deadly if it burns.
Mm-hmm.
It instantly kills people, but we still allow it and we still use it.
Mm-hmm.
And what also comes to reality, and this is something that few people really realize, most of the countries, the emerging countries that are building products that we use today, are far less regulated than we are.
Right.
And this gets everybody into trouble because we can call out a specification for something, for instance, paint. We can define a paint that we want. They can go buy a paint with the right numbers, the right call out, the right specification. Unfortunately, because they're not regulated, it still has lead in it.
Mm-hmm. See, and that's a big question. That is something that I would just like to interject. I've known of people that are in manufacturing here in the United States that are very conscientious people. They're very, very concerned about toxicity. And they say, we are bringing products into this country. We do not hold other countries to the same standard that we hold our manufacturers to. And that really upsets them because it comes in. And everybody goes, oh, woohoo, we're saving money. But these people are saying, wait a minute, we are meeting all of this criteria that is put out by this agency, that agency, the other agency. We've got paperwork up the gazoo. And you let Joe Bong Bong out here in Indonesia or in some other country from Africa send in products that are contaminated. And you're putting them on the shelves. How can that be changed?
HSF.us, our whole mission with the hazardous substance-free movement that we've been working on now for over 7 years is to provide information to consumers. The website, what we've done is we've established a website, and we have manufacturers that are starting to sign up. They're only starting right now, but they're starting to sign up to to actually list their products and what's in their products.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a technical thing, but in order for them to use the HSF mark on their packaging, when you go into a store, if you look for that mark, then you have an assurance that that product was made properly, it's toxic-free. The way we do that is the company must be certified to begin with, the factory, and it has to be facility by facility. And then we have a group of laboratories, and this is all non-government, non-profit work being done. We have laboratories here in the United States that randomly buy and test those products. So it's an industry-based, consumer-based, and if we can get consumers to start insisting that, the retail outlets only sell hazardous substance-free marked products, we have a chance of succeeding with this.
I think that the average consumer is going to be quite concerned. I was someplace just recently, and I was listening to the women. And the women are saying, I won't have this in my house because it's got this, this, and this in it. And someone else saying,
yes.
I won't have this
yes.
in my house. The women are the ones who are saying, wait a minute. I need to know more about this. Now, not that the men aren't interested, but it's the women who are out there buying all of these products. It's the women that are buying things for their family's home.
That's right.
No one
that's
wants
right.
to buy a microwave that's going to be putting out a radiation level that's going to give you cancer because you've used it
right.
for 5 years. Nobody wants to do this. And it's the women that I am observing more than the men, and you can correct me if you feel I'm wrong.
No. I wished I could correct you, but unfortunately, you're absolutely right. It's the moms and the women and the grandmothers who buy these things, and they're extremely concerned. Keep in mind, it's everything from makeup. You've
mm-hmm.
heard the stories about makeup. You've heard the issues about clothing with chemicals in it. You buy a new car, you sit in it, it smells great, but let me tell you, you're inhaling phthalates. That's chlorine.
Mm-hmm.
Your carpets in the house, it smells so wonderful, but what's in the carpet that you're actually smelling? We know
mm-hmm.
about mold and mildew. That one we clearly take care of. We had the problem with drywall some few years back with formaldehyde in it. Again,
right.
it's a low-cost chemical. It's a low-cost way of manufacturing. And let me tell you, manufacturing in China is not cheaper than the U.S.
I and agree with you on that one.
By the time you put the product on ships and you spend the time and money to get it here, that reduction in labor is not what you're getting. What you're getting is the lack of regulations and the use of products that can be very hazardous. Look at
mm-hmm.
a hairband. Look at a little girl's hairband. And what is the third hand of every human being in the world? There's a third hand we have. Do you know what that is?
No. What is it?
Your mouth.
Uh-huh.
Walk around and look at people who have their hands full, and what have they got in their mouth? They've got their keys. They've got their hairband. They've got, you know, it's something we do naturally.
Mm-hmm.
But every time you put it in your mouth, if it's got lead or cadmium or mercury, all of that's being ingested. And when it's ingested in you, it doesn't mean that it's going to affect you. But it could affect your offspring, your children that you have, or your child starts doing this at 5, 6, 7 years old. It's their children that wind up with autism. Or
mm-hmm.
the sciences are starting to say that it could lead to the Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm.
I'm working with a couple of doctors on the East Coast who believe they can actually show toxic chemicals and what it does to the genes in a human being.
Oh,
but they can
no
actually
question.
See this right in science.
Oh, absolutely. This goes back even to the early 1900s or the 1800s. Just something so they didn't have the technology we've got to make cellular evaluation. But goodness gracious, in London, the sky was so black with toxic chemicals,
yes,
they had lung disease. We had the coal miners here in the United,
yes,
States, black,
yes,
lung. You have situation in China right now. The air is so toxic. I had some friends, I've had a few friends that have been over to China. They said they could barely breathe. It was awful,
yes,
in Beijing.
Yes.
You couldn't even
I've
see the building.
There, yes.
So
yes,
this is something that...
Beijing, Shenzhen, Shanghai, Guangzhou, YU, I mean, the list goes on and on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure where you're at physically, but I grew up in Los Angeles back when it was the Brown Bowl. I mean, that's what we refer to it as because,
mm-hmm,
of the smog that was down there.
That
doesn't even come close to describing what I see when I travel around the world.
Right, and L.A. is a basin, and the Indians,
yeah,
used to call it the Valley of the Smoke, because whenever fog came in or if they had their fires, the smoke,
right,
would stay low to the ground because of the atmospheric condition, and that was long before you have the population density you've got today.
Right.
But it's, you know, it's fascinating to see this, and we have so many people that are ill and don't understand why. You,
yes,
cannot have toxic water. You cannot have these hazardous substances. And I want to talk about the six commonly used substances that are classified as hazardous at this time. There's more than this, I know. But you've got lead, mercury, cadmium, hexavalent, chromium, polybromated biphenyls, and those are PBBS, and polybromated diphenyl ethers. Now, that's,
yes,
rough enough just to wrap your tongue around it, but, you know, you have these essences, and most of us haven't got a clue. So your organization is really oriented in working with the consumer, and
that's
I think
correct.
that is so important, and I think that working towards finding different options, it's necessary. Now, I really like the map inside your handbook, your HSPM handbook. You show different parts of the world, and you've got China, you've got Japan, Korea, Australia, Brazil, Chile, Mexico. You've got areas in the United States. You've got something in California. Now, there's regulations up the gazoo. We've got so many regulations that the regulations are regulating the regulations by the regulators,
right,
that are regulating new regulations. I mean, you go dizzy.
Yes.
These people, the right hand doesn't know what the left hand's doing. They just keep adding,
right,
stuff to the book. The attorneys are having a great time. What,
yep,
can we do? Because we've got a different world. We have a much different world than existed 30, 40 years ago, and our population density is expanding. How can we get rid of the unnecessary regulations so that we can have a healthy balance here, not crippling business? I mean, without business, nobody's going to have a job.
That's absolutely right. I wished I had a really good answer for that. I could probably retire someday if I did. But for what we're trying to do, it's all about insisting through the retail outlets. Everything that comes in, if we go in and we just buy it, it's great for business in that we're spending money and the GDP goes up and all of this. But the reality is that we need to know that what we're buying is safe. And that takes a pushback to our congressmen, to our leaders, and it's more than just saying, I want to be safe. It really is putting our pocketbook where our needs and desires are. That means that we start insisting that retailers don't just give this green movement lip service.
Mm-hmm.
I have read so much about everything's green. We go out, we buy products. That's what the HSF Mark Alliance is all about. And we do have three countries now, France, Taiwan, and the U.S., that are alliance members. We go out and we buy the products, we test those products, and then we work with the manufacturers. We're not trying to penalize the world. We're trying,
mm-hmm,
to change the world.
Right. So, and that's the better approach anyway.
Yes. Taking it through that approach, but what we absolutely need is consumers to understand this and start, just talk to the managers of the store and say, what do you know about hazardous substance-free products, and when will you start selling them?
Mm-hmm.
With a mark on it, so I don't have to worry. I want to be able to walk into your store, take my smartphone, scan that barcode, and see that I have a safe product. And that's one of the keys. We have to make it simple, and I would say convenient for the buyer to know that they're safe. We need to do what Erin mm-hmm. Brockovich started many years ago. She did a great thing, and we need to keep pushing that.
No question about it. And I think of the poor Chinese mothers, and I use this as an example, when they were buying milk for their babies, and they
yes.
ended up, hundreds of these children,
yes.
critically ill. We got contaminated pet food from China.
Yes.
I'm telling you, thank God for the internet. I had a girlfriend who had cats, and she sends out, she's got thousands of people on her email list, and she said, be warned. This is what's happening. Animals are dying. This is what's wrong. Don't buy XYZ. And I think people are wanting to know about this. And I think standards are important. And I think, first of all, if we are doing standards ourselves, if as American consumers we are taking the time to really investigate things and our manufacturers are gradually coming around to say, okay, let's see what we can do to come up to par, and they're doing that in every industry. I don't care what industry
yes.
it is. It's
every
it's
one of them.
Wellness. Business is business. And you do that, and then we import stuff from other countries where they don't have to meet those standards. That's
right.
not required. That is not good business. Now, I'm impressed with the European Union in as much as Denmark, Greece, Ireland, and the UK are really fining people heavily when they find out
yes,
about what
they
they're
are.
Doing.
Yes, they are. They're doing what they say. They're setting the requirements. They're checking, and they're penalizing those that fail to comply very heavily. They're making it very clear that they will not tolerate errors or mistakes or blatant intent.
Mm-hmm. It's really fascinating.
The pet food you mentioned just quickly, it was a protein, an artificial protein that they were putting in, and the thought was that more is better. Unfortunately, that same protein, because it's an artificial approach to protein, it turns out to kill people and animals.
Incredible.
The lack of understanding. And the lack of regulation.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a point, if you don't know, you don't know. People did not have an understanding about lead. The Romans
right.
had lead pipes. What did they know? Well, they all went insane
yes.
anyway.
Yes.
But they, seriously, they didn't know.
Yes.
If you can go to certain areas of this country, be in a pristine environment, test the water, and the water's got lead in it. Where'd it come from? It came from the rocks. Water's
right.
very caustic. Pulled and leached the natural lead out of the rocks. You have areas
right.
where there's natural radiation. This is where we have an advantage because we can research, we can investigate things. And that's something, I know I'm in the Pacific Northwest, and we have a big issue in the Tacoma area because there was a major plant that literally put arsenic out into the air for years.
Mm-hmm.
And they will have things on television. Have your soil tested. You don't
right.
want your children playing in the soil unless you've had it tested. And you may find that it's got high levels of arsenic. Now, you have a child, and you go, and that child is playing out. Just like you said, the hand goes to the mouth. Can't see it.
Right.
Can't taste it. The toxins are there. We saw it happen in Russia when we were in Russia in 1992. We were told by the Russian people when Chernobyl went off, they had not been told that that had happened. And so all of this white dust went all over their vegetables. They were ingesting radiation, toxic levels of radiation through their food, through their water, through everything. to this day, they don't know how they're going to be affected because of this foreign material.
Right.
So I think your organization is taking a giant step towards helping understanding. And I think any time as consumers we can be made more aware, it is very significant. Now, I want to give out your website again, Stanley, hsf.us. H like Harry, S like Sam, F like Frank. It stands for the Hazard Substance Free.us. And there's sites that are going to be coming up regarding different countries. And as he said, France, Taiwan, the U.S. are involved with them because they're consumer-oriented. And I think that this is just absolutely marvelous. Stanley, I know we're out of time here. It's just been a delight, and I'm sure you've got all kinds of stories to share. And maybe we'll have the opportunity at another time to be able to share some of those stories with my audience, because I think people in general care. So many people are sick today. And as you said, we're just beginning to really understand how the effects of toxicity on our physiological well-being. I know how it affects pets. We're part of the animal world. It affects plants.
That
it affects everything. So I really think your organization is just doing a great job. And I want to thank you for being my guest today.
No, I thank you very much for having me and look forward to possibly doing this again.
Very much so. Donna Sebo here. Check out the HSPM handbook. It's a handbook. You're going to get facts in this. Go to the website, hsf.us. Find out more. It's to your benefit to know about these things. This is Donna Sebo. We are taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you. We offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone lines are now open. Give me a buzz if you would like to chat. Telephone number to call into is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. If you're a first-time listener, all I need from you is your first name or an initial. I always like to know where you're calling in from. And then after that, relax. I'll tell you what I perceive, and then you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that you might be interested in. So again, 888-627-6008. We have quite a fascinating lineup this week. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking with Tammy Strobel. You can buy happiness, and it's cheap. Aha, bet you hadn't heard somebody say that. Well, Tammy has got a wonderful, wonderful publication. And then we're going to be talking with Lou Paradise on Wednesday, and it's about pharmaceuticals and wellness. It's always a delight to be able to bring people on the air who have first-hand, interactive, working knowledge of information that can make our lives better. So Lou's going to be doing that. And then Thomas Fusco, Behind the Cosmic Veil. Now, Thomas has had some experiences that allowed him to go further in his understanding of mind, various dimensions of thought and experience, and so we'll be talking about that. And then Normandy Ellis, Imagining the World into Existence. Imagining the World into Existence. We're going to be talking with Normandy, and I think you will enjoy that as well. So we've got a very unique grouping of people. Of course, that's what usually happens with the Donna Sebo Show. I know someone made a comment to me. They said, my goodness, you have so much fascinating material, such a diversity. Well, that's who I am. That's what I like. I enjoy that diversity. The reason being is that without the diversity, if you keep yourself in too narrow a spectrum, you're always going to find yourself thinking, gee whiz, this is the only way, or I guess we can't see it another way. No, that's not true. Just like my guest today, who is dealing with environmental toxicity, how do we make a change? It has to begin with somebody. And we have to educate ourselves. We have to be open to new concepts and ideas. And not everything is going to be hunky-dory with us. And not everything that people say is correct. But without a willingness to say, let's see what we can do. How can we make this better? We're not going to move ahead. So we've evolved a cycle right now where we're finding we're poisoning ourselves. We poison the water. We're poisoning all kinds of stuff. You cannot have over 7 billion people on the planet having all of the food needs met and all of the technological needs met and all of the medical needs met. Of course, a lot of them aren't being met. You can't have that level of blindness to see what's affecting us overall. A lot of the physical conditions that are being experienced today by children, autism, various bronchial situations, all kinds of things on a cellular level, and my guest brought this out. They're showing that due to chemical exposure that a mother can have, it influences the physiological wellness of the baby. Well, anybody knows that if they have 50 cents worth of common sense. What you eat, what you drink, how you take care of yourself, all of this makes a difference. So you have this, and you're not doing this on purpose. You're not saying, I'm going to go and poison my child or create a malignant cellular patterning in my child. This is not what you do. But we are finally waking up to the fact that we need to pay attention, and it's the women that are saying, I've got to have some answers. And this is so important. It's so important. And as Arthur C. Clarke, who was a well-known science fiction writer, in fact, he was the best-known science fiction writer. He sold most science fiction material you could ever imagine, and it's a fascinating read. This guy was really brilliant. He was years and years and years ahead of the curve. He said the only way to discover the limits of the possible is to go beyond them into the impossible. And this is something that is so significant. To go beyond the possible into the impossible. Now, as my guest mentioned, industry has a hard time adapting. Why? Because they have such an investment in what they have already put their money into. And that's a conversation in and of itself. But the problem is, they are not really encouraged to change. There's a lot of government regulation that isn't going to change. It doesn't change until we as consumers speak up, speak out, and really let them know certain things are not going to be acceptable. That's the difference. That is what makes a difference. So again, don't limit yourself. Whatever you feel maybe you've had in your life and you want some change, reach out for something new. Reach out to educate yourself. Pick up magazines that you never thought of picking up. Science magazines, health magazines, business magazines. Read them. Be willing to open your mind to science, to different aspects of technology. You don't have to know it all. but at least you'll be aware of certain things. And more than anything else as a consumer, it's so important to stay awake to what's going on. And my husband and I were out getting some building materials because we've got some repair work we have to do. And I will have to say this. We were at a Lowe's store. And right at the entrance, they had these big recycle units. They said, if you have batteries, you can put them in this section. If you have light bulbs, put them in this section. And then for paper, put it here. So they really have things set up where they're encouraging people to bring items with them. I know a lot of people that say, what are you going to do with a battery? What are you going to do with this battery or the other? They don't know. Goes in the trash. So we're coming to that level of understanding that we have to be responsible and have to have a conscious level of attention. Of course, whoever, and I've heard this many times, whoever figures out how to dispose of garbage dumps in a safe, effective way is going to be a gazillionaire. Whoever comes up with that understanding, it's going to be absolutely, incredibly beneficial, where it's safe for the environment, recycling all of the items that are in there. It's going to be absolutely amazing. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-627-6008. Quickly, I want to mention for those of you who are listening in Western Washington, my last class of the year, Quantum Mind 4, is going to be, it's a class seminar with Robert Newman, is going to be done on Saturday, November the 3rd, 10 to 4, and the price is $59.95 if you reserve your spot in advance, and we can only have 25 students. Robert is going to be talking about the Chinese medicine environment and how you can have good health and longevity and the secrets that he's learned of being involved in that modality for most of his life. And also, then I'm going to be sharing exercises you can do working with color. Also, we're going to be doing exercises as we always do in the class. It's very interactive where you are able to demonstrate to yourself your own intuitive capacities. Remember, intuition, the psychic self, is built into you. It's a part of you, it's a natural essence, and I just love teaching people and enjoy empowering you to be comfortable with your own skill. So November the 3rd, Western Washington, and there will be information coming out in my upcoming newsletter as well with all of the details, and of course you'll be able to have access to the newsletter online on my website, DelphiInternational.com. Quickly, I want to digress for just a moment. Have you ever wondered about etiquette? Well, I know when I was growing up, that was a big thing. And today, that's not emphasized so much. However, there are people in different parts of the country that they actually will travel to different locales to teach youngsters etiquette. How do you sit? How do you dress? How do you use a fork? Somebody might say, oh, that's ridiculous. Well, I'll tell you what, if you're not taught etiquette, then you're going to find yourself really getting embarrassed. And etiquette varies from country to country. Well, the rules for behavior, as old as civilization itself, the Egyptians, they had their records on it, and that was back in 2500 BC and earlier. But it really seemed to become a big deal during periods of class instability. Now, the first grouping of European conduct books arose during the French and Italian Renaissance. Of course, feudalism was dying, the middle class was beginning to grow, and manners, social etiquette, gave the paradigm. If you didn't know how to act, you were of the lower class. So if you ever had the feeling of being in that situation, well, by golly, it happened here in America, when we had our Gilded Age, etiquette was very, very important. And, of course, people from different cultures brought their different etiquette principles with them. Now, this really became big time in the United States as people started making new money, as it was often described. They wanted to be able to have class. They wanted standard. So it always, always was a measure of who you were, how you acted made a difference, and understanding the etiquette was extremely important. Do you know that the word itself, etiquette, is a word for ticket? And military, they feel, in the research, probably was an origin, a very significant contribution. Because in the military, you have things that you were taught. Ever watch a program on West Point, what the young men and women have to go through there? Well, all of the orders of the day probably found their way into etiquette as we know today. And it was a forerunner of what we utilize today as etiquette manuals. Donna Sebo here. We're taking a break, a little bit of trivia, and when we come back, let's see what I'll have for you in the way of a recipe. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com. That's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N. And find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007. That's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Give me a buzz at 888-627-6008. Let's show you how it's done on the Donna Sebo Show. Welcome, caller. First name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
Hello, Donna. It's Pat in Connecticut.
Well, hi, Pat. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Are the leaves changing in Connecticut now?
Oh, barely. Barely where I am. Not yet.
Wow. Here in the Pacific Northwest, they are changing so fast. It's unbelievable. I mean, really changing. So we're going to have a cold, wet winter, I think, which is going to be something I don't know that many people are going to be too happy about, but I really think that's what we're going to have. Pat, first thing that I'm looking at with you is you're going to need to see a dentist. And I'm looking at the front part of your mouth, so I don't know. Honestly, what I'm getting is like the upper front part of your teeth. So I'm wondering if maybe you have an irritation or something that's going to be going on. I'm looking at a nerve. And I would just like to encourage you to consider, instead of using something like Listerine, like maybe a little bit of hydrogen peroxide, this is an old, old, old-fashioned recipe, but just rinse your mouth out with it. You just put a little bit in, it'll bubble up, foam up, and just rinse it out. Because I think this irritation is a long time established something that's been going on there. And I'm looking at a sensitivity along your gum line. I am looking at a discomfort, and I want to say that might help to keep the irritation down, and it's just a very good, simple, inexpensive way to sometimes help the mouth heal, but you still need to see a dentist. That's what I'm looking at. So I think you've got some expenditure that's going to be going out here, and make sure you're comfortable with your dentist, that you really like your dentist, so that you're not going to be ill at ease and it'll be very much worth the investment. Also, what I am looking at is a friend of yours is going to be going through a very, very difficult time emotionally. Be a good friend to this woman, but don't try to fix anything. Just listen. Just listen. This person is going to have so many individuals trying to tell her what to do, how to do it, when to do it, where to do it. Be a good friend and just listen. She's actually going to make her own choices, good, bad, or indifferent. They're her choices. And then you won't be depleted. You won't feel worn out and exhausted. So don't take on her stuff, but do be kind and listen to her, because she doesn't have anybody around that does that. And that has been most of her life. She's always had people around her to criticize her and to make comments about her. And she is on a slow path to a higher level of self-esteem, and she's feeling like she's really being pummeled. So be a good friend and listen and just say, I'm here to listen. I'm your friend. I love you as a friend. Just know you're safe when you're with me, and I won't pass on anything that you have to say. Because a lot of what she's going to talk about has so much emotion in it that if you get caught up in it, you're just going to feel like you've been run over, you know, by a steamroller. So you don't want that. Just be a good friend. What's your question for me today?
I want to ask about a travesty that was done on a Native American ranch in Texas a while ago concerning a white buffalo called Lightning Medicine Cloud, and also its parents. And I've been in touch with them, and they have an idea that it was a number of people, but justice isn't happening. Some people say it was Black Leg, and other people, other Native Americans, are slandering them. And I'm just wondering if you have any information about who did this, or if justice will happen, what the course is going to be. I think the sheriff shut it down with lack of evidence.
Well, there are actually three, four people that were involved in this, and I am not fully aware of what happened there. There's been nothing mentioned on our news up here. But I would say that it's within a circle of people that have a particular agenda, and they are all known, all known. So the lack of evidence, there is a positioning there where that is the case to a degree, but it's such a hotbed that I really think it's going to take some very quiet, deliberate investigation, and the group of people will be found.
What did you say, the lack of what and positioning? I missed that.
There is a challenge that the legal authorities have. They, one, as you said, they don't have enough evidence, but it is a hotbed. And there's no easy way to do this. So I think that if there is anyone that is really skilled in doing investigation work, they probably will be able to determine who did this within less than a year.
Okay, and they don't have to be part of the law.
Well, they are going to find out, but they have to deal with the facts. They really have to go and find out what the facts are. And believe it or not, there was some evidence left behind. But it needs to be examined very carefully. But they will find those individuals. And then I think that's going to be a very tricky situation, though. They have to figure out how to make the exposure known, because it's a political hot potato, even among the Native Americans.
Yeah, it sort of sounds like possibly Native Americans were involved in this crime.
Yes.
Yeah, that's come up a few times. Donna, thank you. Bless you.
This You're more very, than very welcome, cool. dear. You have a great day. Cool.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. This is Donna Siebel. My goodness, the hour flew by. I'm so delighted you were able to join me, and I welcome you to join me tomorrow because, as usual, we just have some wonderful, wonderful people on the Donna Siebel Show, and it's terrific to be able to share that time with them so that perhaps you become aware of some things. I know I do. I learn something new every single day. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. You're the boss. Enjoy your day. It's a beautiful, beautiful time to be alive. Let's go for the gusto. Enjoy your day to the fullest. Talk with you same time, same place. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.